No, we bless Pastor John and his family. I appreciate that you pray for them. You are so blessed to have a good man as your pastor in this area. And I am so honored to be able to come. Now I was telling Tim before the service that I heard a story about this church that they did not have a pastor, and so they had the pastor was away for quite a length of time, and so they had an interim pastor for several months. And on his last Sunday, as an interim, he said to the congregation, you know, he said, "I've been happy to fill in for you." And he said, "I'm sort of like when you break a window and you put a piece of cardboard in until you can get the window fixed." He says, "Well, I'm sort of like that piece of cardboard. I'm just waiting until your pastor comes back." And after the service, one of the ladies met him and said, no, "You're not a piece of cardboard. You're the real pain." Anyway, so I'm sort of the real pain this morning, filling in for you. But I am very grateful, and I thank you, Brother Tim, and I'm just thrilled to hear about this tremendous week you had last week with the children. It was last week. The week before. Anyway, and how many children were impacted? 33. That is just tremendous. And I encourage you to continue to pray for the seed that was sown, that God will water it and that it will grow. And at every opportunity you have to just encourage that seed in the children in your community, who knows what God will do. I was saved. I was born again when I was 6 years old. And I knew that God changed my life. Of course, the whole family was converted at that time. And so because of the influence of the family, it really helped. But you as a community can have a powerful influence also. Yes, since I was here a year ago, the Lord has been so good. I'm so glad that COVID is not an issue anymore, and I have been able to travel in the last year as I have done. For those of you that I've never met, how many have I never met before today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow, give me a 7. There you go. Thank you. I am honored to meet you. And don't let me scare you. It's going to get rough. But anyway, this church has been very gracious to send offerings of support, which I want to say thank you to the leadership of this church for that kindness. I appreciate it. And especially during COVID, it really, really was a huge blessing. Until COVID, I traveled for 41 years. 8 to 10 months of the year, I was on the road, traveling from place to place, town to town, city to city, country to country, ministering. And then during COVID, I had a sudden stop for 2 years in which we did it by Zoom. I Zoomed over here too, and we had a good time. And then now for the last year, little by little, things have opened. I was in Europe again for just about 3 months in February, March, and April. And it was just tremendous to see again that, you know, not every church has grown, but several of the churches during COVID, in spite of COVID, God has not stopped. And we saw many, many people come to receive the Lord. It's difficult to know what there is going on in their hearts, but just from what I saw of the response, I would say about 100 people in those 6 weeks, in the French part of Switzerland particularly, came to know Jesus. Isn't that great? And about 50 or so received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. That I could see and hear. And so, I encourage you, if you've never received this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit, it's for every believer. Brings a new dimension of power. But now, during the summer, I've been kind of busy around preaching every weekend, places like this, and wherever the opportunities come. And then, the Lord willing, this autumn I'll be able to make another long trip, Lord willing, leaving Saskatchewan in the middle of September with my car loaded on my way to Ontario and a good deal of time in Quebec. I will be ministering about almost more than half of the time in various places in Quebec. My heart has really been touched by the need among the French-speaking people. But God seems to have given me an open door, even though my French is not a perfect, you know. But they seem to put up with me. And for preaching, I generally try to use a good translator because I prefer to let them sweat than me trying to find the good French. But anyway, I don't understand it why, but God has been very gracious to open doors for me in the French-speaking countries particularly. It's amazing. In countries in France, when I first went there, they were not open to women in ministry, the French-speaking churches. And so there I was, a Canadian English-speaking woman in a country that does not like English-speaking women from Canada's preaching. But anyway, God opened the door, so we just done it. And the thing is, people come to Jesus. That's the whole point. We want people to know Jesus, and we want believers to be established and to grow in their faith and to be prepared and ready for his return or to stand before him by whatever way. So that's just a little update of things for me, and I do appreciate your prayers and support. But I have a very important message. By the way, for those of you that are new, I did set up a few of my books and CDs, just about three of each one, on the table at the back. If you're interested and if you got money to spend you don't know what to do with, we'll be happy to help you out. You know, just most of you have the books, but if you don't, you can check them out. And by the way, that has been a new project in the last couple of months. I got inspired, and I'm working on another book. And this coming Thursday, it will go to the editor of the Word Alive Press. So it came together very quickly, but it takes a process. So I expect it will be available by the middle of November, I'm hoping, so people can buy it for Christmas. And I'm kind of keeping the wraps on the title, just because. It's going to be different. But anyway, but I have a message that I really feel is a very important message for the church, for believers, for all of people. Whatever your spiritual condition, I believe this is a very important thing. And it's rather serious. But I'd like to take my main thought from Matthew chapter 11. And I want to read verses 2 to 6. Now, I have the old King James, but I'm going to use... Did you put that in?
Yeah. NIV.
So let's go ahead and read that, and I will also refer to the Old King James on occasion. So let's read Matthew 11, 2 to 6. When John, that's John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. And it's that phrase, that last verse, that I want to speak about this morning, but I'm going to read it in the Old King James. And it says this: blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want to talk this morning about being offended with God. The word offense, and is in this translation, it's translated stumble. It actually, offended is also translated as turn back, fall away because of me. Or to be offended, it means that you stumble, that you turn back from, that you fall away from. These are the meanings of offense. So when you see that word in the Bible, it can include several of those meanings. Of course, the Old King James uses it more frequently. The word offense comes from the root word trap trigger. That is, when you set a mouse trap, and I'm sure all of us have on occasion, or let somebody else do it, when you set a little mouse trap, you know that little jigger thing in the middle, and you put the wire on it, and you put the cheese or the peanut butter on there, and you set it as light as you can, and then you very gingerly lay it down, and that mouse comes along, he smells the cheese, he sticks his nose in it, but then he puts his foot on the trigger, and you got him. That trigger where you put the bait, that trigger where he puts his foot, is called a trap trigger. And it's the same root word as the word for offense. Now, we understand being offended at one another. And may the Lord have mercy. That's a whole other sermon about being offended. You know, he did this to me. She said that to me. And I want to encourage you. Let it go. Don't carry offense. Let stuff go. Just put it under the blood of Jesus. Don't carry it. Let it go. We don't know all of the story. We only know our opinion of the story. We judge other people by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. Think of that. The next time that somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, look at that. Who taught that jerk how to drive? But when we cut somebody off, nothing intentional, you know. So we need to be very careful about carrying offense. Let it go. But when it comes to being offended with God, that's a different perspective that I want to put in your mind today. Being offended with God, stumbling, falling away from, turning back from God. I got this thought, began to really work in my heart when I read a Billy Graham magazine, and a man by the name of Andrew Brunson was writing some things that he learned about persecution. And he gave a 6-part series. In fact, it's a video series called Prepare to Stand. And he put this into the Billy Graham magazine, and he was talking about his experience in a Turkish prison. He, with two other friends, were operating a Christian Bible bookstore in Turkey, which is a Muslim country. And they were making themselves available to anyone that wanted to have knowledge of the Christian faith, about Jesus, when one day some radicals came into the shop, shot his two friends, and they arrested him and put him in the prison because of his faith in Christ. And then they used him as a political pawn just to get whatever they could get out of him. And he spent 2 years in Turkey in prison. And finally, it was Mr. Trump, actually, who intervened and who spoke on his behalf. And finally, he got out. And I saw a picture of him praying with Mr. Trump. So that was several years ago. Thank you for the applause there, brother. But anyway. So, Mr. Brunson, in the time that he was in prison, he was a missionary. He was a seasoned believer in Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus with all of his heart, willing to, as an American, to go to Turkey to lay down his life to bring the gospel of Jesus. But now he was in prison. He said he was astonished at how quickly his faith in Christ was shaken because he found himself very alone. He said his wife could come in, and he did have a Bible, which praise the Lord for that. But he said he was so alone, and he said fears began to come against him. Of course, we know we have an enemy, the devil, who will do everything in his power to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But in this prison, he was so troubled. And he learned right away that he needed to study the Word of God. He needed to fill his mind and discipline his mind with what he was thinking and to call out to the Lord for strength. And he said a very interesting thing, I thought. He said one thing he did that really helped him was every day he danced before the Lord and praised the Lord. Because he took literally the scripture that says, blessed are you when you are persecuted. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And so he said he didn't feel glad at all. And it was the hardest thing he did. But by sheer discipline and by the grace of God, he would dance in his cell. And he would say, I praise you, Lord. I give you my life. I praise you. I worship you. Isn't that amazing? A very interesting little thing. But he said there were several, many lessons that he learned. And one of them was he found himself becoming offended at God. God, why did you let this happen? My two friends are killed. Why am I in prison? I don't know if I'll ever get out of this place. I don't know if I'll ever see my family again. I'm stuck in this place. Why did you let this happen? Where is God? Why don't I have an answer? And he said the hardest thing was that he could not seem to feel the presence of God. Now, for what the Lord permitted that, we don't know. But he said he was so confused and so upset and so irritated with God. Just like some of us on occasion. Offended with God. Why is there no answering? Answer. Why is there no suffering? Where is God in the situation that I am? And so I kind of worked through the different scriptures about where in the Old King James it talks about offense and offended with God, and they were offended at Jesus. And I want to share with you this morning 5 points, 5 things, 5 areas in which people may become offended with God. Now maybe you will find many more or a few less, whatever. But for my sake, because I like points, I like to know where I'm going. Anyway, I just tried to categorize these offenses into 5 particular points. The 5 particular things that I believe will... Something is not moving? Okay. Maybe it's batteries again. But maybe you can relate to some of these points, or maybe you can, maybe you are in one of these points. Number one, why people would become offended with God, I would like to put the word doubt. Everybody say doubt. And by doubt, I am meaning the context of uncertainty and skepticism. Just a little side note here. Doubt is not the same as unbelief. They are 2 different words. Doubt has to do with this sense of uncertainty, this sense of skepticism. Well, I don't know. And doubt can be a good thing, because you don't want to believe everything that happens, especially on CBC. Oh, anyway, we won't go there. But, you know, doubt can be a good thing. Unbelief, and I'll talk about it later, unbelief is very different. Unbelief is willing rejection. I will not believe. I refuse to believe. Willing rejection. So they're different things. But doubt, and in Mark Chapter 6, we can see that the family and the friends of Jesus were offended because they couldn't believe he was who he said he was. Isn't this the carpenter, it says? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Or they stumbled, or they fell away, or they turned back because of him. Just an interesting note. Jesus came from a family of at least 6. There was at least 2 sisters, and there was 4 at least brothers. So he knew something about big families. They were all his half-brothers, of course, and half-sisters. But nevertheless, they were offended at him. They were doubtful of him. They were uncertainty. There was uncertainty about him. There was a prejudice and a skepticism. I used to play marbles with him. I used to play hopscotch with him. Messiah? I'm not sure. Sure, I mean, blind eyes see, but I'm not so sure. And they were offended. They fell away because of the skepticism and prejudice. They didn't recognize who he was, and he did not do what they thought he should do. Could it be that some people today stumble at Jesus Christ, or fall away, or turn back from following Jesus because he doesn't do what they expect? That he doesn't come the way they expect. He doesn't, that we don't recognize him in our crisis and in our situation. I don't know about this. Because of doubt, people stumble at Jesus. People fall away, become turning back. I don't know. So we need to be watchful that we look for Jesus in the most unusual ways. Remember when the disciples were out on the boat and there's a big storm and Jesus came walking on the water? I mean, now here, you guys are people of great faith. We walk on the water regularly. From December to March. We're kind of not so faithful in July and August. But these disciples, they didn't recognize Jesus. They liked to freak out. They thought it was the angel of death. I mean, somebody walking in the water in the middle of the night. I mean, But Jesus can come to us in situations and in circumstances and even through individuals in ways we might not expect. So don't be offended. Don't fall away because God's ways are not what you expected. Number two, why may we be offended with God? Why may it happen? Number two, because of disagreement with God. I just don't like the way he's doing stuff. I disagree completely with the way God has let this thing happen. Disagreement with God. And my scripture is John 6. And verses 51 to 53 and then 66 and 67. But look at this. Jesus was speaking to these crowds, massive crowds. There was religious leaders who hated him. There were simple, ordinary folks that were curious. There were those that were disciples that loved him and were following him. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that come down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" We'll just stop there for a minute. This thing of eating his body and drinking his blood, they didn't understand it, and they didn't want to understand it. They could, if they would have just hung around, it wasn't long until after Pentecost they understood it was his death on the cross that now we partake of his blood and his body by faith. His body was broken for our sin. His blood was shed to cover our sin. But they were not willing to listen, to hear, and they disagreed with this eating blood, eat body, and drinking blood. Verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back, were offended, turned back, and no longer followed him. I disagree. I can't say. I mean, this guy's crazy eating blood, a body, and drinking blood. I'm not hanging out here. I don't even want to know what he means. And so because they were not willing to understand Jesus' teaching, they were not willing to submit to nor to accept the truth, they left him. They left. Because they disagreed with the way God was doing things. They envisioned that the Messiah would come to this earth and would set up this amazing kingdom, and that Peter was going to be prime minister and John was going to be premier. And I mean, they had it all organized. And now they Jesus was preparing them, telling them subtly, I'm going to die on a cross. The kingdom that I establish is not, at this point, an earthly kingdom. It's a kingdom in the hearts. These people, I disagree with that. I want to see this thing come now. I want to see a kingdom, and I want to be premier. Or Secretary of Finance. Could we sometimes be offended with God because we disagree with Him? I disagree with the way He taught stuff. I think anything should go. People should be able to live any way they want and still be in the kingdom of God. I disagree when the Bible says that some stuff is wrong for those who follow Jesus. Everybody's looking at me like a tree full of owls. You know what I'm talking about. Lots of people say, I want to do my thing. I disagree with what the Word of God teaches because it disagrees with what I want. And they fell away. I want to mention a little point here. When they fell away, when they left, listen very carefully. Jesus never chased them. He let them go. I found, this is a little bit on the side, and yet it has everything to do. You remember the story of the prodigal son, this boy who said to his dad, I want my money now, and he went off and he spent it all and he did his own thing and he ended up feeding hogs at the end of himself. In the same context, Jesus talked about a lost sheep and they went to find him. Talks about a lost coin, the woman searched. But the father did not seek or chase after the prodigal son. Now, we can't build a doctrine on a parable, you understand. But it was a parable with a principle. The father waited until the son came to the end of himself. And as soon as the son said, I got to go home, the father was there. You know, there are some people that insist on their own way. And if you chase after them until they're ready to come to Jesus, until they're ready to repent, to turn around from their sin and their darkness, you might get them back, but their heart will not be back. But when they come to the end of themselves, like the prodigal son, the father's there. The father was waiting the whole time. Just a little lesson, something to be, how many understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, every case is different, and I'm not trying to build a doctrine on this little story that illustrates what Jesus was teaching. But there's an interesting concept there, isn't there? How many have seen people that, yeah, they might have come home, but they sure didn't want to be there. How many know what that? Yeah. How many were like that? No. But you know what? When you really want to come home, I mean, you want to come home, and the Father, knowing the Father's there, is everything. Jesus didn't chase those that left him. If they were offended at him, if they disagreed with him, he let them go. His arms were open if they would come back. Very interesting. Number three. Why we may be offended with God. Not only because of doubt and not only disagreement with God, but sometimes because of dissatisfaction with God. Everybody say dissatisfaction. We say, how can anybody be dissatisfied with God? He is my everything. He is my source. He is my life. He is my breath. He is my reason for living. How can someone become dissatisfied? Jesus told another parable. And a very interesting thing in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21, he was telling the parable about a guy that sowed seeds. And he said, that's like the word of God that goes out. He said, some seeds fall by the wayside and the birds take them. Some seeds fall on stony soil, and because they have no root, they grow up, but as soon as things get hot, they die. And then he also talked about others that they grew, but they were choked with thorns. And but it's that middle one about no root. Look at what Matthew 13, 21 says. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. This is talking about those who are all excited about the gospel of Jesus. But when trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. The Old King James talks about offended. They're easily offended. They fall away because they have no root. That's why I encourage every one of you. I'm so pleased to see my young friend here, Jordan. Jordan? I'm telling you, he can't get enough of that Bible. You pray every day. Every one of us pray every day. God, give me a hunger for your word. And you put down your roots real deep. And sometimes you'll be convicted and it'll show you stuff in your life you don't want to see. But you give it to Jesus. Put down, every one of us, you agree with that? Put down deep roots. Because persecution will come. Jesus said, they hated me, and they will hate those who follow me. There will be persecution. There will be difficulties. No, we may not have to give our lives, at least not at this point. But when trouble comes, my friends, at all costs, cling to Jesus. Don't let anything or anybody come between you and Jesus. Amen. Put down deep roots. Because those who have, you know, the roots start down, they hit a bunch of rocks, they hit some bitterness, they hit some hatred, they hit some jealousies, they hit rocks and stuff in their life. They lose their strength. They don't have strength. And so when trouble comes, they fall away. They quickly fall away. That's what the scripture says. Put down your roots in the word of God. What was the problem? They were dissatisfied. They didn't have deep roots. They were quickly upset by persecution. And they were easily dissuaded and superficial in their faith. That's what I mean by dissatisfied. Superficial and easily dissuaded. Folks that just believe, whoa, whatever's happening. Is everybody getting something? How many are not getting anything? Don't move. I know this is a serious message, but I really want you to think it through. It's going to get better. But number four, the fourth reason, and I trust it's none of our reason. And that's not only because of doubt, disagreement with God, and dissatisfaction, but some people may be offended with God because of disobedience. Everybody say disobedience. What I mean by that, because of unbelief and rebellion in the heart, they refuse to submit to Jesus Christ. And my scripture for that is what Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. Now, Peter was warning the church, and he was talking about how the religious leaders had rejected Jesus. Okay, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble, King James says, to be offended. And a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So this is very clear that these people who rebelled and rejected and willingly disobeyed, as, for example, the religious leaders, the one that the prophets had told would come, the chief cornerstone, the corner of a building from which everything is measured, the stone, the chief cornerstone, or it can apply to an ark, the stone that fits there in the middle to hold the ark, the archway in its place, or the stone, the chief stone of the foundation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. But they rejected that stone and they stumbled over it. And so they didn't even recognize their own Messiah because of the rebellion in their hearts. May the Lord help us to say, Lord, I believe. I want you to be the center of my life. But my last point is perhaps the one that Jesus was talking about. Not only doubt, not only disagreement with God, not only dissatisfaction with God, not only disobedience, but the fifth reason why people may be offended. Did I preach that long, really? Don't tell anybody. I'm not even done. Just so you know. Fifth reason, disillusionment with God or disappointment with God. John the Baptist was sent as a mighty prophet. Jesus called him one of the greatest prophets of the Old Covenant. John the Baptist saw Jesus, was baptized Jesus, saw the dove descending upon him, which the Father had said to John, when you see that one that I have chosen as the Messiah, I will give you a sign. He said, I saw the sign. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist spoke those words. Somebody came and said, Jesus is baptizing more than you now, John. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. But then he was arrested. Then he was put in prison. John the Baptist was put in prison. He was alone. He was secluded. And his mind started to work. What if I missed it? I know I was anointed prophet. I know that. But what if I missed it? What if somehow I didn't read the sign right? This isn't the way I expected the Messiah would do. I thought I was preparing a Messiah for the kingdom on earth. And I don't understand. And now I'm in prison and I'm trapped in here and my life hangs by a thread every day. I really thought I did what was right. He sent these two disciples just to ask Jesus. John sent us to you, Jesus, just to be sure. Are you the one? And Jesus said, it says he did miracles. People were healed and lames and healed and cripples and all of this was healed. And then he said to the disciples, go back. Tell John what you saw. And then he said, tell him. Blessed are those that don't fall away, that don't stumble, that don't turn back, that are not offended because of me. John was kind of disappointed in the way Jesus was doing stuff. And sometimes we may be really disappointed. It didn't pan out the way we thought. We may have pictures of a church packed to the doors with hundreds of thousands of people turning to Christ. We may have an image in our minds of what victory is going to happen in our lives, that many people are going to turn to Christ. We may have images in our minds of how God is going to save our kids and save our parents, and life is going to happen. We may have an image in our mind of what the return of Christ shall be. And honestly, I don't know exactly how it's going to be. None of us do. Jesus said, blessed are those that are not offended, that don't turn back, because of me. That's very deep words, my friend. Disillusioned. You know, in Luke 22, 31 and 32, just before his crucifixion, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, now that's a sense of repentance, that's not the same. When you have turned back, repented, come back to me, strengthen your brothers. He said, many are going to be offended because of me tonight, Peter. Many are going to fall away, many are going to stumble. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. And you know what? Think of it. Jesus prays for you and I, that we will not fail. He said that in John 17. I won't go into that. You know, I just want to read quickly, and I really am coming near the finish. Hang with me a few more minutes. Luke 24, 21. There was these two guys that were walking down the road. Clopas and another fellow, they're walking down the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were so confused, and they were talking about that all that had happened, the crucifixion, and these women talking about resurrection, and now this stranger joins them, and the stranger says, why do you look so sad? And these men said, where have you been? You don't know what's going on. They didn't recognize Jesus walking right there with him. And so they began to tell Jesus, but we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this is the third day since all this took place. And it goes on to say in the next verse, and these women came from the grave and said, Jesus is alive. I mean, it's just, what is going on? But here you can read the acute disappointment. We thought that Jesus was going to establish his kingdom. We may say, but I thought Jesus would come back by now. But I thought Jesus would answer that prayer. But I thought that they would come to Christ. I thought that there would be a transformation. I really thought I was doing what God wanted. How many are getting my point? How many you relate to my point? These disappointed and confused disciples were in grave danger of being offended with God. They were just so disappointed. It just didn't pan out the way they wanted, just like some of us. Now, I'm not asking you to confess anything, but how many relate to what I'm saying? All of us do. God is God. He'll do stuff the way he wants to. And we need to acknowledge he's God. I will follow him. I'm not the leader here. I'm moving over and let him take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. I'm going to end with one important scripture. And that is, well, first of all, this one's very important. John 16 and verse 1. You know, when we see the stuff that's happening in the world today, we may be very easily offended that God permits some of these things. The whole COVID thing was a shakeup. The whole, all of that stuff and garbage and talk and this and that and everything. Everybody got wired about everything. I mean, honestly, over stuff that, I mean, just, you know, many people lost their focus on Jesus fighting each other. Jesus told us there's going to be pestilences and plagues. He said there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. He said the very heavens are going to be shaken. He said there's going to be roaring of sea and waves. I'm not going to read it. You can read it in Luke chapter 21 and in Matthew chapter 24 and the whole book of Revelation. Some of the startling and horrifying things that are happening in our news. Floods and earthquakes and famines and wars. He said it's going to be terrible. Don't think it's going to get any better. Don't worry about the heat waves. We ain't seen nothing yet. The Bible at one point says in the book of Revelation that the sun will be given permission to scorch men and they will gnaw their tongues with pain. I thought of that scripture about the darkness will cover the land and people would gnaw their tongues for pain because of darkness. And I thought, how can that be? But when all that smoke moved in, I'm going to tell you, people were sick because of the darkness and the pain in some places. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm not saying what chapter we're on in the book of Revelation, but we're there. Jesus said all of this stuff's going to happen. But look at this. Look at John 16 and verse 1. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. So that you will not be shocked. That you will not be dismayed. That you will not say, God, where are you? That you will not say, God, you've forgotten me. God, everything's out of control. But Jesus said, I'm telling you this now so that you'll know when it happens. I've told you in advance that you won't fall away. You won't be deceived. You won't be dismayed. You won't be offended at God. My last scripture. Seriously, when I say that three times, you know we're there. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. So do not throw away your confidence. This is so important. Why don't we read it out loud, off the thing, all together, out loud. 1, 2, 3. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. The other translation says fall away. Verse 39. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That, my friends, is you. We're not going to be offended. We're going to, things we don't understand, God, that's you. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to leave that with you. I'm going to follow you with all my heart, with all my passion, with all my soul. I will follow you. By grace I shall stand, for the just shall live by faith. I don't understand it, but I will live by faith. I will trust in the Lord. I will stand because of his grace. Amen.